will, and Joe will also talk about related topics on Thursday. So let me start from the beginning and remind you notation and a few basic facts of what I'll be talking about. So we look at n equal infinity, n equal 4 super Young Mills, and which is supposed to be due to type 2B superstrings in ADS 5S5, and the parameters are essentially only lambda, which is related to string tension. Soft coupling related to square root of lambda is related to string tension. So we consider large n limit, and the basic statement of ADS CFT, which will be used, is that string energies in global ADS time they should be related to should be equal to dimensions of gauge invariant single trace operators. So that's a basic claim of ADS CFT. What it means, it's equality of two functions of many variables. On string side, this is a function of tension, conserved charges, which are basically five spins of the symmetry group, and various other numbers, which are related to windings, folds, and other topological numbers, like oscillation numbers in flat space. On gauge side, that will be characteristics of the corresponding operators. So the operators are built out of scalars of n equal 4 Young Mills derivatives, and the gauge fields and fermions in general. So to solve this n equal 4 theory means finding spectrum of such of the operators and finding energies of strings. So that's the first step in solving this conformal theory. So I would like to compute the dimensions for any lambda and any J's or charges and any other numbers, which are supposed to be, we should have good description of them due to integrability. The basic issue is different perturbation theories which we deal with on string side and gauge side. So the approach which was used lately is basically try to extract as much as possible, as much information as possible on both sides and try to guess the answer. So that's a familiar strategy in many branches of physics, in particular in solutions of two-dimensional theories using integrability. But what are the principles which we should use? It's not completely clear. So certainly integrability and supersymmetry was used much, but it's probably not enough. So there was a remarkable recent progress based on looking at states which have large quantum numbers and which are due to long gauge invariant operators. And here, this equality appears to hold, and both energies and dimensions have same dependence, seem to have the same dependence on charges and other quantum numbers, while coefficients in general are interpolating functions of lambda. Now, there was also much of progress of understanding relation to integrable spin chains, the spectrum of strings and the spectrum of the operators, of dimensions of operators, and there is also various advances going on trying to uncover the underlying beta under. So let me start with basic points about gauge theory and string theory. So what are the basic two theories which we talked about? So string theory in ADS 5S5 has Green-Schwarz type description, and we're dealing with simple bosonic part, which is just two coset sigma models. And then there are Green-Schwarz fermions, and this part looks complicated, and but it's straightforward to develop perturbation theory and start computing various quantum corrections. So this theory is conformal, or conformally invariant, is two-dimensional theory. It's classically integrable, and there was quite a bit of progress understanding implications of this classical integrability. Now, as I just mentioned, one can just take this action, expand near particular background for X, near particular classical string soliton, and then compute quantum corrections in inverse string tension. And one can also develop expansion near point-like limit or near jet edit. fine. Now, the issues here are obviously to try to see whether we can go beyond one loop and whether we can actually prove quantum integrability at the same time having manifest symmetries and the two-dimensional conformal wave. Now, on gauge side, we're dealing with familiar n equal 4 theory, conformal Fabian-Mills theory. So here, as was already discussed several times, the main central starting point is the dilatation operator. And what I will be discussing mostly in my talk is SU2 sector operators built out of two scalars, two complex combination of scalars, and in powers J1, total powers J1 and J2, two spins in two planes, and total J will be sum of them. So here the central observation is, which was already mentioned several times, that we, at one loop order, we're dealing with paramagnetic Heisenberg spin chain, which sort of the spectrum which determines the spectrum of the corresponding operator. Now, it's even more remarkable that an analogous spin chain appears, as analogous spin chain Hamiltonian appears at higher loop orders, as is now clear up to probably 5 loops, but explicitly shown up to 3 loops that the Hamiltonian which appears from Feynman diagram computation is actually consistent with integrability, and it has a meaning, it has a structure of ferromagnetic spin chain Hamiltonian with multi-spin interactions long range order. So it appears also as effective Hamiltonian Hubbard model, at least to this 3-loop order. And so the central point here is we start with Heisenberg spin chain and we need to maintain this ferromagnetic nature of it, and that is, that will have important implications for the structure of the spectrum. So integrability implies hopefully existence of better ansatz, and then we can in principle compute the spectrum of the corresponding operator and then compare to string theory. So that would be that's a strategy which was used lately, and again we start with what we know about Heisenberg model. It was already discussed. Here we start with beta ansatz, and so notation I will be using, these are rapidities, momenta, pj of the magnons, and number of m is, in my notation will be j2, the second spin, number of flipped spins, and so the basic magnon dispersion relation is sine squared pj over 2, so we just sum. We need to solve this equation and sum to find the energy. So there are indications of integrability both on string side at one loop string theory, if we just know a one loop result, and also on in classical in gauge theory at one loop and classical string theory. So we may expect integrability to all orders, indeed this is confirmed, as I mentioned, at 2 or 3 loop orders. Then the bold assumption that integrability should hold for any lambda, and then there is a net very simple generalization of this ansatz, which was suggested by BDS, which essentially involves the same structure of this S up to possible correction factor, which is dressing factor in this space, and the only modification is this square root in dispersion relation. And this square root has very natural kind of natural explanation, especially it's natural also from string theory point of view, soliton point of view, as we will see in a second. So this is very natural generalization of beta ansatz indeed, and remarkably it is consistent with 2 and 3 loop order dilatation operator and follows also from this Hubbard discussion. Now, this S has a meaning of its matrix, so what about this space? So we, as I just mentioned, this standard BDS, asymptotic BDS ansatz means the space is zero. But to match the string theory, we need this space to be non-zero, as it was made explicit in the paper by these authors. So this string AFS ansatz does have this non-zero space. And in fact, this space can be it's universal, and its structure seems to be kind of nearly unique up to functions of lambda. So it's determined by this combination of momenta, and these q's are some charge, sort of charge densities, and the only unknown here is this function. But there are many of these functions. So this is function of three variables. So clearly, it's parameterized by infinite number of functions of lambda. So in principle, we'd like to reduce this freedom as much as possible. But at the moment, it looks like we need to know a lot before we know the phase. Now, what do we actually know? With matching to string theory seems to require, according to AFS, that C at large lambda goes to this just scales in as particular power of lambda. Now, at large lambda, one expects some leading corrections. So just on using string intuition, we expect 1 over square root of lambda corrections. But then the issue is, what do they really resum to 0 as required by BDS at weak coupling? So what is the limit of this C at 0? So that's the main issue, how to find this phase, what are these CRS of lambda. And we would like to compute them from first principles, that means from quantum string theory. But what we know about quantum string theory is rather limited. So we know certain one-loop corrections. And indeed, they imply that the first subleading coefficient in addition to FS phase should be non-zero. So this is A, the first coefficient which appears here. So, and indeed, one can determine, as will be discussed later, I guess, later talk by Hernandez, that these ARS are fixed apparently uniquely in the various checks on these coefficients. But what about going beyond one loop order, and can we actually derive these coefficients in a more direct way by computing S matrix in the string theory? Now, the various attempts how one can go, how one can improve on that picture. So we can try to compute S matrix directly from string theory. That was already discussed by Kostas in Kostas' talk. So here motivation comes from looking at Landau-Lipschitz model and thinking of a matrix of Landau-Lipschitz model, and then trying to think to generalize same sort of setting to string theory, and at classical string theory level that was discussed in our paper, and then one can learn the message is that one needs to integrate out half of excitation modes, so to design antiparticles, and then the S matrix for positive energy states should be this matrix which entered that answer. But how to do this beyond three level remains an open question. So another approach is more maybe heuristic one, is try to think of some Lorentz invariant theory which will reduce, which have the same excitations as effective excitations, and which will produce this S matrix as effective sketch S matrix. So here Lorentz invariant may be an additional condition which will help to fix this part of the phase. Another strategy would be just to keep going with the various limits of the spectrum and finding extra constraints on this matrix from various explicit computations in various limits. And that's what I'll be mostly discussing, is the spectrum and what we actually know about it. So there will be a key assumption in which I'll make, and remains to be proved, but we'll assume the spectrum is actually smooth. There's no transition if we go from small lambda to large lambda. So the structure of the spectrum, as we see it in Heisenberg model, one loop in gauge theory, should be more or less the same, qualitatively the same for large charges, as in classical string theory, or semi-classical string theory. So that sounds like a very strange statement, but indeed, there is remarkable evidence that that may actually be true. So there are both qualitative and quantitative agreements between these two extreme limits. And this agreement is certainly due to supersymmetry, but also to this importance of this taking J large. So what my plan will be to review what we know about spin chain spectrum and what compared to semi-classical spin spectrum. The gauge theory spectrum at one loop at large J. So here we start with Heisenberg model, and what do we actually know about? Well, I know very little, but it's easy to extract from literature what is actually known. So that answer looks complicated, but one can analyze in various parts of the spectrum. And we obviously have ground state, which is just BPS, corresponds to BPS operator. And then if we order the spectrum going from lowest energy state to highest energy state, which is antiferromagnetic state, we first pass through states which scale as one, which scale as one over J squared, the large J, and that will be the MN magnons. Here we have familiar dispersion relation B squared and the operators with few impurities. Then we reach the states which scale energies of which scale as one over J, and these correspond to both spins J1, J2 being of the same order. So the number of impurities here is of order of length of this of the chain, and that corresponds to low energy spin waves. So these are large number of magnons. This coefficient scale is a ratio of J2 over J, which is fixed in this limit. And in fact, such states may be called macroscopic beta strings, or another name for them is block walls. And they were sort of discovered, discussed relatively recently, and rederived in the context of EDS CFT. So here the operators are built out of, one can think of them as built big chunks of BPS operators, Phi1 and Phi2 interchanging. Now, going further up in energy, so there are states which whose energy just scales as constant when J is taken large. So these will have finite number of magnons, and so here J2 is fixed while J is taken large. And these are actually much simpler than these ones. These are better strings, which in fact bound states of magnets, which better discovered in discussing his paper. So finally we reach antiferromagnetic state where J1 is equal to J2 and the energy just scales as J. So the reason I'm reviewing all that is that the spectrum of BDS model will be similar and the spectrum of classical string theory will be similar again. So beta string, so I'll actually concentrate on that part related to beta states. So just again review what just follows from discussion of Heisman model. In the limit when one spin is much bigger than the other one, we can just easily see that if J is taken to infinity, J1 is taken to infinity, what is important for bound states which have complex moment is to have zero follow S matrix, which enters the beta ansatz. And so one gets essentially the just a line of these rapidities are aligned on a line along the complex line with the real center U0. So then one finds that the energy minus J it goes as 1 over J2 times sine squared of total momentum over 2. So total momentum is related to this U0 and J2. So the important point is that this E minus J scales roughly as same, it goes as the same as for single magnets, but is down by number of magnets, 1 over J2. And there is a, this lambda over 2 pi squared is coefficient in front of Hamiltonian. So when J2 grows, these beta strings bend, and then we get to this macroscopic string limit of thermodynamics. The reason we can view the structure of the spectrum, these macroscopic strings and beta strings, from the point of view of Landau-Lipschitz model, which is effective theory which describes low energy part of the spectrum. So in fact, this theory is kind of an important bridge between, at least qualitatively provides a bridge between gauge theory and string theory, so spin chain side and string theory for this part of the spectrum, low energy module in the spectrum. So here, Landau-Lipschitz model can be parameterized by coherent states, spin coherent states, vector n, which lives on a two-dimensional sphere. So this is a discrete version of that model, which enters formal path integral, and each n here can be parameterized by two angles on the sphere, and that was already discussed in Kostis' talk. So we can take continuum limit, assuming n change slowly. So for some states, that description makes sense. And then we get to continuum Landau-Lipschitz model, which is known integrable system. It has Lux pair, and the scattering method was developed for it. And so what do we actually know about solutions in this model? So if we consider Landau-Lipschitz on a circle, So we keep J fixed and impose periodicity condition. Then we have magnons, which are small fluctuations near the vacuum, near the ground state. So N1 plus IN2 scale just goes as a wave. And then there are solitons, which have E minus J scaling as 1 over J. So these correspond to these microscopic strings in the discrete data. For example, this soliton, very simple, just taking one angle to be sigma. So sigma is periodic, angle is periodic, so this is consistent. Another angle is just constant. So now what about this beta string? So where do they, or the states which have a fixed number of magnons while J is taken to infinity? So for that we can look at Landau-Lipschitz on the line. And that's the same, essentially scaling J large corresponds to going to infinite line. So here we again find small fluctuations, magnons. Again, it's just a wave. Now there's no periodicity, no quantization condition for momentum. Plus, there are solitons. And in fact, the spectrum of the solid, the energy of soliton scale is constant at large J. So it goes as 1 over J. So these are, in fact, the solitons are analogs of beta strings. And the corresponding soliton is actually is well known. It was discussed a long time ago. And it has, essentially the magnon is delocalized, it's just a wave. The soliton is like a pulse, and it propagates along the line. So, what is important here is to notice that in addition to X minus VT dependence, which is kind of familiar for moving soliton, since we're dealing with non-Lorentz invariant, not non-Galilean invariant model, there is also explicit dependence on T, so it's you cannot just do Lorentz transformation and make it steady. So this soliton is of interest because its classical energy, its classical dispersion relation is exactly looking like, if we define momentum and spin of this Landau-Lipschitz model, we get energy scaling as sine squared over J2. It's the same dispersion relation as for beta strings. So in fact, the soliton should correspond to this beta string. So the soliton is non-topological compared to sine Gordon. It's different. It's non-topological. It can be continuously deformed to vacuum. And again, one can study scattering of the soliton. There is this matrix, Landau-Lipschitz, which was mentioned by in Questa's talk. And one can develop classical inverse scattering story. So then semi-classical quantization was also discussed for the solitons and magnons. So the full spectrum of continuous Hesmic model will contain this quantum magnons, continuous spectrum, plus discrete quantum soliton spectrum. Important point which I would like to make is that we get sort of two different objects here. So if we quantize, we get spin one magnons, but we also have spin one soliton. But in fact, they should be identified. So under exact quantization, magnon should get dispersion relation, which is not k squared, but actually sine squared k over 2. So in full quantum theory, indeed we have just one state. So soliton in quantum theory becomes essentially the magnon. So this analogy with sine Gordon is actually magnon corresponds to basic excitation, soliton to breather. Or doublet. So, in fact, there was a discussion of lowest energy state in doublet spectrum, and it should be indeed related to basic meson. And the argument goes through spin chain, sort of. And from spin chain side, we certainly understand this. We know the spectrum there. It's just quantum magnon is elementary excitation. It has J2 equal 1, and all other states are bound states of magnon. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is relation to this giant magnon story, and indeed, as I will mention, hopefully mention later, this soliton, this pulse, is nothing but a limit of this moving Hofmann-Mulder-Senna soliton. If we just expand it, just like we can do with any classical solution, we can look at it sort of its limit. Start with sigma model solution, then take a limit to Landau-Lipschitz. So now let me go back to spin chain spectrum. So what I did, I discussed discrete spectrum, then I discussed field theory view of that, the reason being that that will help related it to string theory. But now let me return back to BDS ansatz and ask how the spectrum generalizes to all as in lambda. So far we just can discuss one loop order, first order in lambda. So in fact, since the structure of BDS ansatz is very sort of much motivated by the death ansatz for the XXX model, the structure of the spectrum is should be basically the same. So what we find is, again, ferromagnetic vacuum, then we get BMN magnons on a periodic chain, and which are due to small strings. Then we get this macroscopic strings. Again, now we will have a whole series of expansions in lambda over J here, and I'll return back to this story later. And they should be due to long, fast rotating strings with several angular momenta. And then we also have a kind of intermediate part of the spectrum where at large J, the right hand side scales as finite function, not as 1 over J or similar like here, but rather a finite function of lambda and J2. So these will be bound states of a number of magnons, and these will be generalized beta strings, and they will be related to this giant magnon story. Now, let me quickly mention also the ferromagnetic state, so one can compute the function. So the energy for antiferromagnetic state is this structure, and the function was computed, in fact, in these papers, and it was familiar from Hubbard model side, but it also can be derived directly from BDS. And the interesting point about this formula, which is expressed in terms of Bessel functions, is that indeed it kind of goes from weak coupling expansion to strong coupling, which has scaling as squares of lambda, what we would expect for a string state. And indeed, it looks like there is a candidate on string side for the antiferromagnetic state, which would be due to the antiferromagnetic state, which is just a circular string with very large winding number and equal to and two spins being equal, as we need for a ferromagnetic state. So that's different from this limit when one spin is much bigger than the other, and where again there are states with winding over the G, as I've discussed later. So let me again pause for a second and try to stress that this is BDS spectrum, but when we look at string theory, that need not be the same, because we are talking about different limits. And on string side, what we are doing is we're taking large lambda first, then we take J large. Well, actually, we take J large at the same time. We fix this parameter. And gauge side, we just take lambda first and then expand at large J. We don't fix that parameter at all. So that brings in all these questions about BMN scaling, etc. But in some cases, indeed, we find quite remarkable agreement even without any interpolation. So generically, we should expect strong recoupling interpolation, presence of this function of lambda. But in few cases, we know we actually get exact matching for fast strings and for these J infinity strings. So there should be a reason for that, and large J and supersymmetry seems to be part of that reason. Now, let me review what we know about part of the spectrum, which is this long fast string. So this part of the spectrum corresponding to two spins of the same order. So on string side, these are fast moving strings, and we can compute their classical energy, compute one loop quantum corrections, etc. On Young-Mills side, this is part of this BDS spectrum. And remarkably, the first two coefficients in the expansion of anomalous dimension and string energy happen to be the same, but three loop order we need an interpolation function. So what we actually find just by direct analysis of how energy of these fast moving strings with two spins, like folded string or circular string, how they look like. So energy scales as if I introduce parameter lambda tilde, lambda over j squared, it scales as j plus lambda over j plus lambda squared over j cubed, etc. Subleading terms here will look like one loop corrections on string side and subleading one over j correction on gauge side. And so remarkable fact from about this particular sector of strings is that energy scale has analytic dependence on lambda. There is no square root of lambda dependence. But in fact, if one looks at one computes quantum correction, one looks for quantum corrections, one finds the presence of these non-analytic terms, 1 over square root of lambda terms, in the string coefficients, which suggests that we need indeed a function here, not just a number. And this function appears to have two different limits at large lambda, to approach a different constant at large lambda and small lambda. So this C0 is not equal to D1, and that's the reason for this three-loop disagreement with not so much publicity. So how we can view the same from effective field theory approach? So again, going back to this Landau-Lifshitz point of view, we can start with string theory. We can start with gauge theory, look at coherent states, derive Landau-Lifshitz model for the whole BDS ANSATZ or dressed BDS ANSATZ, and compare this to a limit of string theory action, which would be again looking like Landau-Lifshitz model. So on string side, this unit vector n, which represents classical spin on in this coherent state approach, spin chain coherent state approach. In classical side, it will be just parameterizing position of transverse modes of a string in S3 after we extract past mode. So that's very quickly how the string side goes. So we look at a soliton which has certain which has large angular momentum. And there is a collective coordinate, some phase, which corresponds to this large angular momentum. It may not be just momentum in one plane, but rather a combination of two. And then we fix, essentially, we fix a gauge, which is P equal tau, and this large momentum being constant. And then we expand an action, we can expand the action in inverse 1 over J parameter, the scale parameter which corresponds to the large J. So in particular, for string moving on S3, we could parameterize the string in terms of complex coordinates. This alpha will be just phase, common phase, and then U1, U2 will parameterize this classical spin position. So if one looks at this U1, U2 doublet of this radial direction, they will define n, this unit vector. So the action of a three-sphere becomes looking like this, and essentially this is just CPN, CP1, Landau-Lifshitz model. So it just follows from usual sigma model action, Lambu action, by gauge fixing this alpha and doing low energy expansion. So now, if one pushes this procedure to next orders, so few orders in expansion in derivatives, so what one gets is generalization of Landau-Lifshitz action, which to include high derivative terms. And what one finds is the same action on both string side and gauge side up to two-loop order, to lambda squared order, and that explains this agreement of coefficients in the string energies on both sides. And but at three-loop order, at lambda cube order, one needs, for this high derivative terms, one needs indeed these interpolating functions, and it appears to be two different structures, two different coefficients. That was discussed in particular in our paper with Giominacan and Tirzil. So these B and C appear to have two different, again, approach two different constants in two different limits, which are very similar, but different. So that suggests that they're really functions of lambda. And again, that follows the reason why they should be functions of lambda is the presence of these 1 over square root of lambda corrections, which follow from explicit computational level string correction, the particular soliton string solution. But this action sort of parameterizes the whole, what happens with any string solution of which moves fast on the free sphere. So in a sense, it's you don't need to look at particular examples or particular states, you just one simple formula, but this B and C should also be related to these phases, to this function which parameterize the phase theta, which entered the S matrix in beta. So this whole action should kind of be related to this S matrix. Now let me finally get back to this intermediate part of the spectrum when we take one spin large and another spin fixed. So here, remarkably, these beta bound states, beta strings, admit simple generalization to all order BDS ansatz. So before getting to string theory, let's look at BDS ansatz. And in fact, the first observation was by Dory that the poles in BDSS matrix, they imply the presence of states which have dispersion relation like this. So E minus J1 is finite, J2 is finite, J1 is taken to infinity, but what one gets is instead of this leading term, which is lambda over 2 pi squared over J2 sine squared pi over 2, which was for better strings, here we get the square root. So BDS implies the presence of this nice formula with the square root. Now the same conclusion can be arrived at by just analyzing the solution of beta ansatz, BDS beta ansatz. One finds the same distribution of rapidities, but now with new dispersion relation, and momentum also depends on lambda, and one gets back to the same formula for the analog of beta strings in this case. So that's this formula, and there was also suggestion that this is kind of, it's related to work by Nicholas Beiser, where he was discussing BPS, existence of new BPS states in this latitude one limit. So there is a generalization of that formula to bound states of n magnons, each carrying, so these are, by magnons I mean bound state like this, bound state of magnons, a beta bound state of magnons. But if we take n groups of them with each carrying J2 over n momentum, angular momentum, and Pa over n momentum, we get that formula. And that formula is important because it helps to relate discussion to particular string states which they get on string side. So the same discussion actually applies to FS case, and assuming this dressing factor has no poles and zeros, which for FS is true, and presumably it's true in general. And then the obvious question is, what is the string interpretation of that problem? So what do we know about string theory? So on string side, if we look at large J limit of semiclass, what we can look at first, that we can look at semiclassical string states and take this large J limit while fixing the second split. So more precisely, all we know on string side is really large lambda limit. So we look at classical string states, and that means we fix ratio of energy to square root of lambda and ratio of spin to square root of lambda. So what the limit which we are going to consider is in this this normalized J1 to infinity, while this normalized J2 is fixed. So what happens if we take this limit with known semiclassical string states? We find some universality. So E minus J1, which is, happens to be finite and it scales like this, exactly like this BDS generalization of beta string. So this sector is a sector of kind of infinitely heavy solitonic strings, or infinitely long solitonic strings. And it clearly has some special properties, namely BPS-like non-reversibility of classical energy, etc. And there was several recent papers discussing string side of discussing this sector. So let me discuss in the remaining 5 minutes two examples how we get that formula from known particular string solution. So we can look at folded string with two spins on S3. So this is just a S3 metric with two angles, and the solution has one angle dependent on sigma and two other angles describing two angle momentum. And if we take this particular limit of this solution, we need to scale energy to infinity. One spin should be just equal to this kappa. Kappa is t equal to t, time is equal to kappa tau. And the second frequency is just scaled with omega less than 1, also scaled with kappa. And as was observed by Nick Dory, in that limit, this solution, the energy for this folded string becomes simplified and becomes just, again, this square root formula. With what appears here is actually is a limit of that more general expression which I showed earlier, where we need to take n equal 2 and p equal pi. Now, in fact, this more general formula for the n groups of these bound states, it corresponds to strings with spikes on S3. So it's a spiky string, a closed string, which built out of spikes, which are joined together. And so it depends on two parameters, number of spikes and winding number. So the spikes may wind actually several times around the equator. So P here for closed string should be 2 pi m, and this m is winding number, and n is number of spikes. So so here comes the point about interpretation. So how we should view these solutions? Can we think of them as built of the giant magnons, indeed, which will be just one spike, this Hofmann-Mulder-Senna solution, which will be discussed later, I hope. But indeed, we should be a little bit careful, because that solution was carrying spin equals zero. But in fact, the true magnon is J2 equal 1 solitoid, which we can't really distinguish J2 equal 1 from J2 equal 0 at classical level. But the quantum level, so the true quantum state should correspond to quantum magnon, which should correspond to quantum magnon, should be J2 equal 1. So the moral here is that what one should really do is to look at J2 is non-zero as at a classical level. One actually must view these states as kind of better defined and think of this J2 equals 0 case just as a limit. So that formula sort of with n equal 1 of general is more fundamental instead of rather than thinking of J2 equals 0 limit being fundamental solid. So then one can starting with this folded string, for example, one can compute a loop string correction and find it vanishes. So what that means is that at least to one loop order, this classical dispersion relation, which I wrote here expecting square root of lambda, is not corrected. So presumably that's true to all orders, so this formula is actually exact in quantum theory. Same can be repeated for circular string which with two spins here. An interesting new point is that here one needs to scale winding number of this string, which it's actually wound in two planes, but these winding numbers are related. One needs to scale. Yes, I'm finishing. It's my one more. So here one gets this formula, but it's again a limit of that more general formula with where n is taken to infinity. So here we have infinite number of. In fact, we have infinite Bethe string. String is wound many times, it's an infinitely long string, but again, one loop correction here vanishes, so here I wrote expression for one loop correction. It's kind of non-trivial integral, which of course is finite, p is continuous because we took j to infinity here, but indeed it's zero for any gamma which is inverse of this well-known j2. So that suggests there is some hidden symmetry in this problem, in this large j limit. On string side, so far, it wasn't really identified. There are generalizations, so one can look at pulsating solution and also get similar expression, which is now already not SU2 sector, but rather O4 sector. One can look at scattering of giant magnets on S3. One can look at superposition of magnets, more general solution as SU3 sector, and here the message is that one needs to combine giant magnets sitting in two different SU2. So its conclusions are, looks like quite remarkably, Heisenberg model knows about string theory more than one would expect. And BDS is a natural generalization, but this phase remains an issue. And it implies the presence of interpolation functions in Bethe ansatz, string energies, effective Landau-Lifshitz action. So I discussed to some extent this limit which got much attention recently, large J limit, with second spin being fixed, so it has simplicity, probably non-reversibility, and obvious relation to S matrix. So the message seems to be that we need to explore this limit further, compute S matrix, and see whether the soliton scattering actually imposes additional constraints on this matrix. Thank you.
Questions for Arkady?
I mean, it's maybe not so much a question, but I mean, I could pose it in the form of a question. But, and wouldn't you agree that still it's kind of suspicious that for the moment we don't have a single non-DPS state where we know such an interpolating function. I mean, out of all these zillions of states, we don't know a single such function.
Well, if you knew how to solve certain integral equations, you probably knew more. Well, what I mean, yeah, okay, let me.
I mean, the structure seems to sort of nearly interpolate, but we don't have there's so far no state other than BPS where we really have a conjecture about such a function.
Yeah, I completely agree, but this interpolating function is sitting in this space, so it's somehow related. If you knew at least one interpolating function, you will know much more about this space. But what I was trying to hint at there is this function which you found, and Kostya found for point intermagnetic state from BDS. And this gives kind of a prototype. You may not like how it behaves at large lambda, but at least it does scale a square root of lambda. It doesn't have regular expansion. If you could repeat this for FS, but with proper modification, and get a better function which will match string theory, that would be a prototype.
Sergey?
Well, I have a comment. Well, you said that AFS dressing factor has no zeros. It's not true, actually. The AFS dressing factor has zeros. And these zeros cancel exactly on physical poles that appear in the BDSS matrix. So, in a sense, the AFSS matrix is better than the BDS one. And, well, I also have a question. Why do you call this magnons that carry two charges, J1 and J2, fundamental ones? Fundamental ones.
I didn't call them fundamental.
Well, you said that the giant magnon is not a fundamental one. It should be considered as the limit of this magnon with J2.
Your question, why I didn't call?
Why did you call the magnon a fundamental one?
let me repeat what I was trying to say, is that by analogy with what happens in Landau-Lipschitz model, where we have small magnons, but we have also solitons, but if we quantize, the spin 1 soliton is actually the same as quantum magnon. The same is supposed to happen here as well.
I don't think so. I think if you quantize the giant magnon, then you will get all other magnons with non-zero charges, including this magnon carrying 1 unit of second charge.
It depends how you... Okay.
You have this solution, the sigma model, you use have the collective mode.
Why you should... there are classical solutions which already have the same dispersion rate for large J2. If the energy is protected, then you can continue. You don't need to quantize anything. You can just see...
In classical theory, J2 is of 4 square root of lambda.
Yes.
So...
Okay, well, we can discuss. Yes.
More questions? If there are no more questions, let's thank our panel.
I just wanted to make an announcement concerning the boat trip. So the boat will leave at 7 o'clock sharp, and so please be there in time. And here's some hints of how to get there. And if you have further questions, just ask us. Thanks. There might be mosquitoes. Want a job?
announcement?
What you do, you just take hand in front. You buy just any combination and
but you
have
for 50.
For continuously, yes. For anything, yeah, okay.
In the limit that J1 goes to infinity.
Oh, yeah.
Limit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,